My first assignment was with one of the judicial judges for annulments in the diocese. So every time this reading came up, we got a lecture on annulments. So I'm not going to do that today. But I thought I'd start with a little wedding humor, or marriage humor, I should say. My friend Father Dillard told me this, and I don't normally start a homily like this, but it was too funny. If it's not funny, laugh anyway. Humor me, please. I got to get my Irish accent working here. Let's see. Now, Murphy and his wife were having a wedding anniversary. And Murphy's wife, she said to Murphy, "Now, Murphy, I want you to get me a good gift this year. I want you to get me something I really want because this is a big anniversary." And Murphy said, "Oh, what is it that you want? What is it? What is it that you want?" And she said, "For our anniversary this year, I want you to get me something that goes, this is a big hint, something that goes between 0 and 200 in 10 seconds or less. Got it?" So Murphy thought, and he thought, and he thought. And then he bought her a scale. Yeah, well, does that hit home to anybody here? Ever gotten your wife a gift like that? Won't do it again, I'll bet. My real homily begins here. I have a new saying. I read this a couple months ago, and I stuck it in my wedding binder. I intend to use it at every wedding from now on, and it applies to myself as well. And it goes like this: in order to have a good marriage, you have to get a divorce first. From yourself. In order to have a really good marriage, you have to get a divorce from yourself. Now, this rule applies to many things besides marriage. It just goes with the reading so well. But I was thinking, something we all do every day, no matter what age we are, is we learn the art of conversation, don't we? In order to be a good conversationalist, we have to let go of what we want to say and let someone else talk. We have to not just think about what we're going to say, but listen to what they're saying and respond correctly. We have to have a kind of a divorce from what our ego in order to make the conversation work. So there are many examples of it, of this idea. If I live a life that is me first, what I want only, my choices are the ones that matter, I'm going to get my way, my will, we're going to have a very frustrating and angry and unhappy life. And it can lead to a divorce, or the loss of a friendship, or the loss of a job even. You know, we have to, it becomes very imperative that we understand what that means. This is true in priesthood too. You know, you can't be a good minister if you're only thinking of yourself. That's kind of obvious, and it's true for friendships as well. Now, the heart of a marriage is the vows. And I get kind of nervous when I preside at a wedding where there's too much hoopla going on, you know. I'm beginning to think there's an inverse proportion. The more the wedding day is emphasized, the more trouble the marriage might have later on. I don't know if that's completely accurate, you know, but I get a little bit nervous sometimes when there's so much emphasis on the ceremony itself. And, you know, because there's always something that goes wrong at a wedding. And usually it's kind of funny to look back at it. It's not always funny at the time. Every priest has got hundreds of wedding stories. I thought I'd start with one. Any of them that happen here, I won't tell till after I leave here, so don't worry about it. But I was a new priest, and the bride was very beautiful, and she had a train that was about, I'm trying to remember, but it must have been at least 3 or 4 yards long. So her train went 3/4 of the way back down the aisle at St. Matthew. It was a very long train, and it had I've been told, I am correct, this is a bustle. She had a bustle attached to the rear end of it, and she couldn't sit down. Also, don't know why brides pick dresses where you can't sit down, but she did. And so the wedding went great. It went off without a hitch, so to speak. And so when she turned around to leave, she had a big, you know, we all wait for the happy couple to get to the back of the aisle. River's clapping. And I stepped off to go next, and I was very happy. Some of you have already thought ahead. I stepped off without thinking. I landed on that train. And I'd been thinking, at least we won't have to sweep the aisle when this lady gets finished. She picked up all the flower petals in that on the way out. Well, I stepped on it, and it came off. The bustle came off also. It was attached with Velcro, and it made a noise when it came off. And I thought, oh, brother, you know. That's been 13 years ago. She's probably forgiven me by now. You know, I'm sure she thought her wedding was ruined. It's probably the only thing anybody remembers from that wedding. You know, people are still talking about. But her wedding was not ruined, because it's the vows that make the wedding. Nothing else in the end has a lasting impact. It's those few words that you say that change your life. The same as a priest, you know. We have to look at the vows again. Some of you might be older, had a different set of vows a little bit. The wording has changed over the years, but kind of the way we do it now is, do you take this person to be your spouse, to have and to hold from this day forward? That's so far so good, huh? For richer and for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, until death do us part. I do. Or they can say the vows themselves. Or they can say them without my saying anything, because nobody's taken me up on that yet, because nobody has the courage to do that without cards, you know. But the reality is I'm watching them make the wedding. I'm just a witness. They're the ones that are, they're performing the ceremony by themselves, by the vows. Very moving. The words themselves, in order to live them, require a divorce from ourselves, don't they? We know we're committed to somebody when things go wrong, but we're still there for them. We can't always do that. I know some marriages don't work out. I know that better than anybody. But ideally, when a person is sick, when we are there for them, that's Christ. And I must die to myself in order to take care of them or to forgive them when they're angry. Maybe they're sick in other ways. Poverty is not just poverty of money, although these days there's a lot of that in Kaiser. I don't know if you noticed the food bank is flooded with people. You know, go figure. But poverty can also be, I wake up one morning and I'm just not as attracted to you as I was 20 years ago, but I'm going to love you anyway. That's poverty. But it's also a dying to myself. I have to let go of an illusion. And it takes a lifetime sometimes to put me aside in order for someone else to be happy. And that paradoxically makes me happy. God has set the world up this way so that we can learn this. Marriage is the primary vehicle most people have to learn this. Others have to learn in other ways. I was trying to think of some of the other ways that this happens. In my life, of course, I'm not married, so I have to be detached or die to myself in other ways. I went to dinner Friday night with some parishioners, and I turned left at Silverton Road and Hawthorne, and there was an accident coming the other way. The whole road was blocked at that intersection. It took six lights to make a left turn. One person didn't know what a left turn arrow was. We lost a whole light. But I sat there saying, I'm going to get a divorce for myself. I'm going to thank God for this. And I did. Praise God. That's a real victory. You get up at night. Baby's crying. It's not your turn. You do it anyway. Who picks out the movie we're going to watch on Saturday night? Do I let someone else pick the restaurant we're going to go to? I was told at one of the masses, I have to say this, I'm under obedience. So please forgive me. I share the remote control. I'm going to hear from all the guys after mass. My spouse has made something for dinner and it looks gross and I eat it anyway. I've just gotten a divorce from myself. You kids can understand that, the ones that most of them went out. Notice the reading said, let the little children come to me, and they all went out. Isn't that funny? One of the ways that this comes up is in marriage gifts. I started with that joke. I probably should have told it later in the homily. Men and women are different. And sometimes, you know, if you get your wife, for example, a vacuum cleaner, you better make sure she asked for it. One of my parishioners last night said, she said, we have a rule in our house. Anything that comes with a cord attached to it or wrapped around it has to have jewelry in it also. I'm probably in a Dutch with some more guys now after that. But that's the idea. You know, I've talked to a number of couples that are having some difficulties. And one of the common themes is that people express love differently, and we don't always get the language. You know, I'm generalizing here, but oftentimes men will say, I love you, by what they do. I give you my paycheck, the common pot, let's say, and they don't ask any questions. They just, that's love, or cutting the grass is love, or cleaning the garage for you is love, or I bought you a new couch, don't you know I love you? And maybe the other spouse is looking for something effective, something that isn't practical, but shows that you have thought about this and took some time. And so these kinds of things can take a while to figure out. And but you all know this, but that's part of dying to self. That's part of getting a divorce from what I want. We've all gotten gifts that you can tell the giver bought it really for themselves, that they hadn't really thought much about the person receiving it. And we've done that ourselves too. And so our Lord invites us to get into this. And when we do, we find that life just becomes a much happier place for us. The more we think about others, there's a general rule, the happier we are ourselves. And this is the great secret of any relationship, is that divorce from ourselves that takes a lifetime to learn, and paradoxically, we find ourselves at the other end of that. We are more fulfilled that way than if we hold it all in selfishly. And all of that can come when we get a divorce from ourselves.